Today's show is brought to you by The Star City Murders. Heath, your movie is out. People should pre-order it.
They should. Yes, The Star City Murders, a movie I star in and produced, is out for pre-order on Amazon and Apple TV. It's coming out April 16th, which is coming soon, baby. And you can also get the DVD or Blu-ray through Amazon as well. And it's also on like Walmart, Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere. DVDs and Blu-rays are sold. But go to Amazon. It's easier. But yeah, no, it's coming out the 16th. We're excited. It's been a long journey. And we also have the companion podcast, the Star City Murders podcast, which goes from script to distribution, the inside scoop on how the film was made, which is a lot of fun. And we just released that pod to the public. So that's available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby. So enjoy the show. Check the show notes. Follow all the links. Pre-order by The Star City Murders today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Daily DVR Does Sugar. Yes, the Apple TV Plus show starring Colin Farrell. Today, we're going to be talking episode 3, Shibuya Crossing, written by David Rosen and Mark Protosevich, directed by Adam Arkin, famous Arkin family, one of the EPs, and does a lot of great television directing in his latest chapter of his career. So pretty awesome. I'm your host, Heath Solo. And remember, go to the DVR Podcast Network website, DVRpodcast.com, for all the stuff we do. We recently covered True Detective Night Country. We're going to be doing House of Dragon this summer. A lot of cool stuff, exclusive pods. And you can become a patron to get those exclusive pods and ad free. And before anyone else, go to patreon.com/DVR. And for a couple bucks a month, you can get all that good stuff, including the film list, which me and Ando count down my 1,000 favorite films of all time. And with me always on these journeys is Mr. Axel Foley. How you doing? I saw you swimming in the pool. You look good with your goggles on.
Yeah, you know, I was just practicing my Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and Gaelic, and while I was swimming, and I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be back. We're 3 episodes in. Haven't had too much feedback. I don't know. This show is kind of a light buzz. Like every time I read a little something about it or see something on social media, people are like, oh, I'm surprised. This show is really good. So hopefully it picks up a bit. Apple kind of moved us up on the searches when you search sugar on the podcast app. At first, it was just all these doctors talking about having don't put sugar
intake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm happy sugar to be busters here, baby. I'm ready to talk about this episode.
Yeah, I so it dropped around, I guess, Pacific Coast time, 6 p.m. on Thursday, which I found is a weird time to drop an episode. Is that something new?
No, Apple does
it's like
that,
9 p.m.
man.
Or midnight. Or, no,
yeah, they'll do Apple it because it. I have the only, because I have an iPhone and I didn't turn it off, I get all the alerts every time a series that I've added.
Right.
And pops up, and that popped up, you're right, around 6 o'clock. And I was like, okay. And I think I texted you or some of the guys and was like, hey, new episode is up. And, but, yeah, they're pretty good at dropping them early. So that's good to know that we can do the eps on Friday. I like doing a little Friday with Solo.
Yeah, you know, Friday with Solo and Folo, it's a good time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be candid. And I, you know, I texted you this last night. So, had a few happy hour cocktails, went on Before the Dragon podcast with our good friend Matt Murdock to talk about House of the Dragon season 2 trailer and different things, and it was a lot of fun. So go check out that pod. I just spent a week with my friend Mark in Lake Tahoe. Matt, our good friend Matt, who we've known since the Lost days, does a great job there with Before the Dragon. But so after that, I threw in Sugar. And I don't know. if my judgment was cloudy, I was like, I don't know if I like this episode. So I took a nap and then woke up around 11:30 p.m. My wife got home. She's a RN and she was on call, but she got home early. And we watched it again. And I absolutely loved the episode the second time. So it was weird. I think whatever state of mind, I think this show, Axel, because it's different and we kind of don't know what's happening, but we do, but we may not know it. I don't know. You have to be in that like almost zen kind of let it flow mode.
Yeah, I agree with you. My wife and I, we sat down to watch some TVs and I was like, oh, we got to watch Sugar. We got the podcast. And she's like, you know what? I gotta chill first. So we slid into a little Top Chef. We love Top Chef. Mm-hmm. That kind of, you know, we talked, blah, blah, blah. Then you put on Sugar, you have all the talk, you just watch it. And the cool thing is, I'm digging the short episodes. First episode was, 49 minutes, then 36, and this was 32, I think. Yes. Once you cut out all the titles and all that. And I like it, man. I just really like this episode. I was right into it. I didn't have that issue. I sunk right into it. I was like, this is, again, we're in the eight part movie territory here, right? Like,
right.
This is really just a continuation. Could we search for different themes present in each episode? I'm sure we could. There were some variations in direction here. I think Arkin used the throwback, the cut-ins of the old movies a little less. He definitely
much less.
Yeah, yeah, much less. He definitely used it less in the establishing shots and the wide shots of like the locations. So that was a little bit different. But hey, I love the episode. And man, Colin Farrell is just, again, this guy is just such a great actor. You just believe anything that comes out of his mouth. Everyone else is great too. Amy Ryan, her name is Kirby Howell Baptiste, who plays Ruby, and I've seen her in a bunch of other stuff. Just such so many great faces. I was right into it, Solo.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because a lot of times when me and my wife watch TV, we'll usually put something on simple while we eat, and then we're talking because, you know, she just got back from work or whatever, so I can relate to what you. And then when you're ready, like. Even like during the day, if we decide to take a lazy day and watch, it's like, no, let's save that for the night when we're just chill, when we ate already and we kind of talked out, you know. And that's what Sugar, I don't even think we talked much during Sugar. We were both really into it. Yeah. But you're right. The characters, the actors, it's like the right combination. Mm-hmm. And we got some new characters. We got at least three or four new characters this episode that were introduced. So we'll talk about that. Where would you like to begin? Do we want to tackle the Teresa's apartment stallings there? Sugar coming? Or how do you want to approach this episode?
I think let's dive into the detective story first, and then let's get into the party of the Societe Polyglot Cosmopolitaine after. Ooh. Like, kind of like, that's our two mysteries, right? We've got our detective story, and then we've got our who the fuck is John Sugar story. So I think we got a lot of progress in the detective story. I was so happy that we start right out there that Teresa calls up, Melanie's going over there. They're cutting right into it as she's talking. I love that technique, little Ocean's 11 kind of stuff happening there, right, Solo? As she's having the first conversation, she's already in the car and getting the, and by the time, boom, a couple seconds later, she's there. I was like, this is awesome. I thought that this was going to kind of be a little more languid. Like, she'd go, you know, she'd be hanging out. We'd hear about that later. John would come back. She'd push him away. But no. We get right to them in Stallings, and that scene was great. I'm glad we didn't have to see anyone's hand in a blender.
That is true. And you know, one thing I love, I love what you're saying, how it's not just, You're on the phone. Then we see Melanie drive. Then you get to the apartment. It was boom, boom, boom. And I love the way this show, it's, they move it exactly. But the tempo, that's what they've been doing. And so it's, like you said, it's an 8-part movie, really. But I love when she, Teresa's on the phone with Melanie and the idiot turns on the blender. Oh, just making some breakfast, she says. And it was like, I didn't catch that the first time in my weird state. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that was just a nice little, but I really like Eric Lang. I mean, we've seen him really Lost is where I first was introduced to him.
And then, so of course, with the hair.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's been on The Bridge and so much other stuff along the way, but him playing like a little badass, he kind of, he's got a little Terry O'Quinn thing going
yes,
on.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yep. And he's just, he's so good. And it just, his presence is there. And again, it goes to all these characters and everyone fitting so well. I mean, the casting is phenomenal in this show. And I just love it because he calls, you know, Sugar comes in and is totally improvising and is like, you know, you got child services coming. Who are these? This place is a mess. And it was actually good, but he sees through it right away. He's like, nah, that watch and suit you have on, there's no way you'd be able to afford that. I thought that was interesting as well. But we do get, so one thing, I know we're in the detective story, but I feel we have to hit this now, is when he's on the fire escape and he's about to go in, he starts getting the shakes and stuff. And he's like, don't happen to me now. And then my mind started racing. please don't let this be a Westworld simulation, or like, I start to get a little worried.
Okay. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay. We'll get to it. Yeah. I just want to, just say it.
That did happen. Put it out there. True. They're mixing it in. They're doing a good job of mixing that. And yeah, man, I was just looking at Eric Lang's IMDb. I mean, he played a great heavy in Perry Mason.
Oh, that's right.
Let's see what other movies he was. Narcos he was in. Yeah, Man in the High Castle. He has Escape at, I pronounce always, Denamora. Which was an interesting Showtime series. He was on Beacon 23. What a career he's had. Really good career. Gosh. Yeah, he's doing good in this one. And I like the way the whole situation kind of shook out, you know? I thought that was, it's like going to come to a head. He gets a phone call, right? they're all out. We see that what happened, a new character has put, like, at first I didn't really understand, all the smoke is coming up, right? Like, what the fuck's going on with this car? But then we see that this new character, who is called
Charlie,
played by Paula Andrea Placido, who is also on the Peacock show Apples Never Fall.
Yes.
So, immediately Perry and I were like, oh, she's getting a lot of work. Okay.
Yeah. I looked at her because I'm like, I know her. And I'm like, I really like her. I love the subtlety. She's not, you know, not overbearing, but she's like so likable off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, a civilian that helps Sugar out. But yeah, no, I love seeing some new, fresh faces.
The whole thing was fun, man. That's what I was saying when we were talking about the first couple episodes. There is, whatever secret we're going to find out, they're doing a good job of opening us up, right? Like, even in the detective stuff, yes, we are have this kind of hard-boiled Hollywood, L.A., Chinatown-esque detective story happening. But it has that mix of kind of fun stuff, like the distraction, get out, he takes the gun, go out the back, they jump in the car, right?
That was a great move when he hits them.
Yeah, the dog jumps.
Did he have a gun? Did he have the gun on him, or did he take the gun and hit him?
No, he took it. He hit the gun. What he did, he turned around and pushed up on the gun, caught it in his hand when it dropped out of the other guy's hand, and then bopped him.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, it was a good move.
Yeah. I was like, I love seeing cool shit like that.
That's what
I just like. I want to do it so bad.
Yeah,
I want
to, like, good.
Colin, teach me.
It was good. It wasn't overly violent or silly as sometimes things get, or, you know, like I'm saying, we didn't see, you never know where a show's going to go, right? Like, we didn't see somebody's hand, Teresa's hand, get chopped up by a blender. And the thing with the dog was fun, right? Like, they open the door and they're like, the dog jumps out, and then the dog jumps in the car.
They go, fucking great. I love dogs so much.
It was fun.
I'm just glad, you know, because thinking House of the Dragons on my mind, and there was a run of shows where they just would show you childbirth.
Yes.
Every, oh, like, we watched like 3 or 4 episodes and was like, childbirth seems to be the theme of the last couple of years. So we haven't had any childbirth and sugar yet. So I'm good. No, but
we got dogs.
No, it's just great. The dogs, got to have dogs. Dogs make everything better, in my opinion. Yeah. So then we do get some information reveals when Melanie and Shug are together. So
I want to call him Shug Knight, but it doesn't
fit. Shug Knight. I almost did. I almost did, and I stopped myself. I was thinking of Vanilla Ice off a balcony. But so she explains about how Melanie and Olivia are helping women, battered women who are trying to get out of bad relationships, abusive husbands. So we're thinking, okay, maybe this is the calling. When Bernie says, when she saw Olivia, I believe it, Bernie says this, where she just feels like she's got her stuff together. She's been sober.
Yeah.
She feels she has a purpose. So I'm guessing this is where she really found her calling when they were, you know, helping these women. But unfortunately, Clifford comes over, kills Carmen, and then I guess when he was going to get a body bag, Olivia shows up.
Yeah.
He's coming in with a body bag, but there's a gun there. So she takes the gun and she shoots him.
Yep.
So Melanie gets over there, and this is the aftermath, and then they put the body in the car. So I was very not surprised, but I couldn't believe we got this information right away, which I liked.
Yep.
Because it, you know, because right now to me, it's more of a little mystery of where the body went from the car when Shug came back and it was gone. But I now we're getting a feel. Okay. So she's not on a drug binge off the reservation that everyone close to her thinks. So she'll be back. This is a major thing that just happened. Or it happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
In the story.
But the thing is, and I guess my question from the end of the episode, Solo, is, do we believe all of that now?
That's a great point.
Because when we see Melanie, when Melanie gets out of her car, the door opens up, I was like, who is that? Okay, it's Bernie. It's the ex who she had admitted last episode. Remember we were talking about her, she keeps flip-flopping, right? Like, she kind of changed. And that's why when this happened too, in the context of the episode, I was a little surprised. I was like, wait a second. We were just talking about how she admitted she talked to Bernie and she became a little less friendly to John, right? But then he rescues her and she spills the beans, which seems all a little bit convenient. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not quite sure. Then when the thing that brings this story together, of course, is when Ruby at the end is deleting all the information about Stallings from these databases, right? And she says, John is on to Stalling. We have to do something. It calls into question, is any of this real? What the fuck is going on? Because I understand what they're presenting to us. But those two plot twists, right, that Melanie is in close contact with Bernie still and look like in a relationship with him, and that Ruby seems to be working against John because he's found out or gotten too close to Stallings. So it was all a little bit, I was a little bit, I have to admit, I was a little confused.
Yeah, because they really harp on the end when, like, the little montage at the end where, yeah, she's driving, then she shows up to Bernie's house and they look at each other. So you're like, wait a minute, is she manipulating Sugar as well for Bernie or for someone else? So do we believe, like you said, do we believe what she says?
Yeah.
Is it to get Sugar off the scent or get him on a different trail? Or is that the truth? And that's a great point because, you know, I assume it's in the show. She's telling a story. That's what happened. But we don't necessarily know if that's true.
Yeah.
We don't know. So that kind of sucks. In a good way.
Like, yeah. And then in the other case, we have the whole Kenny thing, which for a second it took me, it was like, oh, that's Kenny. When my
wife was the same way. Yeah. She's like, who is that? I go, no, that's the bodyguard Kenny. I'm a hope. And then of course his name is mentioned. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's Kenny. He looked a little different from inside the apartment.
Who was the other actor's name in that we saw? I think did you have it in the notes? Is he,
I have this character in the notes. Okay. And I can't freaking find it, of course. Everett Roberts.
Okay.
But it's a character actor we've seen in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, let me ask you. So it's established that Kenny, you know, he works for, I guess, Homeland Security or some sort of government, and he has access to files and whatnot. And it looks like Kenny's using them sexually to get favors. Do you
willingly
feel
willingly too? It doesn't seem that's the interesting thing.
No,
about
no,
it,
he
right?
seems
it's
into
very
it.
Willingly,
he seems very into it. But I'm wondering, is it something that is just something to add to the characters? Did we need it? Is it really important? I don't know. I just, not to go too deep, but sometimes I just feel they will throw in for both sides sex just to have sex and just to have,
of course,
have that in there, which of course, to sell. I get it.
But
no, I know. I just feel like, all right. I guess it does work because now we see how he gets his information.
Yeah.
I guess that's
an insight into the character of Kenny
and perhaps
maybe also the relationship between, Kenny and Davey, who I always want to call Bernie Jr. Because when he comes out, he's kind of like, I thought it was kind of funny. He's like, did you get the information? He's like, oh, I got it, baby. And they were like, all right. And it was,
yeah, I know.
They,
like,
were kind of just,
he knew he got some.
Yeah. He was like clapping a five, like, you got laid too, man. You know, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But kind of,
that was cool.
It was like a little team up. Right. I thought this thing was interesting to me too, because we find out all this information about John. None of it do we know it's true, and we could look at all the screen. He went to Vassar, right? Then they talk about him going into the government program to learn all the different languages, and the whole time he's saying, and eventually, of course, they get to the mom where they go in the end of the show, right? They're like going to see his mom, who is, I thought
Flagstaff.
Yes, which I thought was the door opening for some reason. I don't know. I was like, did she go with them to their, I don't know. Anyway, I just don't know if I bought any of that. Like, I was paying attention, but I wasn't doing like a Lost-like dive on it where I was like, we got to screenshot all of this and see where he went to school.
Right. Like, what book is in the background?
Yeah. I feel like
John Sugar likes Huck Finn.
Exactly.
Oh, gotta go buy Huck Finn now.
What was that called again? The something policeman, the invisible policeman,
the third policeman. Okay. I still have that damn book. Okay. I bought it because of Lost. Still haven't read it. But I have it on my shelf.
Oh boy.
Next to Bad Twin and Catch 22.
Anyway, I didn't do any of that because I just kind of felt like, I don't know. I just felt, it felt very fake to me. And also because Ruby is sitting there watching them. I mean, after we see, that wasn't immediately, but afterwards we see Ruby literally sitting there watching them look at everything. And she's not changing any of the information. She's not But or is she? Is she putting up fake it? I just felt the whole thing would play itself out. You know, that's, I don't know. That's kind of how I felt like.
No. That's a good way to approach it, Axel, because I think the glasses we need to wear watching this show for right now through three episodes is take in the info, but don't take it as gospel just yet on a lot of things, because we don't know really who's being manipulated, what's going on.
Yep.
So that's a good way to approach it, because it almost felt like, you know how when cops go undercover and you got the analyst who's making their profiles, or they're at the airport, they're trying to get in with a key card, or at some building and they're just updating it so you can get in.
Yeah.
Like it kind of felt that a little bit like,
yep, exactly.
That they probably have that, but the fact that Ruby has the technology and to track this, where a guy from Homeland Security is looking something up and she's dialed in. So we know whether she's government or, you know, what, that she has that access. So that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was, that's why I'm saying that at this point in time, three episodes in, excuse me, I do have some theories based on kind of the party and everything, which we could almost kind of move. I don't know. Was there a lot of other stuff? Was there anything else with the kind of detective story that we needed to cover?
As far as the detective story, I don't think so. It's just the big question for me is, who is Stallings? And of course, I don't know if this could be related to Ruby calling Vickers, Dr. Vickers up, who seems to be kind of like a boss. Because is that something we want to save for the end after the party? Because it's not really.
I mean, I guess it's all connected. That's what I mean is, I start to kind of dig down into the detective stuff, and I find the way that they've linked it to who he is, Ruby, the party, everything, has me asking questions about the whole show, which leads me to think, hey, they're doing a good job of this, right?
Yeah.
It's not like there's a totally separate story that has nothing to do, like whatever he is or whatever the group is only tangentially connected. No, we're already in episode three and we're fucking confused as that. There seems to be no one that's really helping John. Ruby is against him. Bernie and his crew are all against him. He's got no one. Is Melanie really his friend or not? We don't know. The only thing he's got is the dog, man. That's all he's got.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just got the hotel staff.
Yeah. And hotel staff and random valets that he throws his car keys to.
In such a confident way.
It's like Larry David tossing the keys.
But okay, so this party. Okay, there's a lot to dissect here. So is the party at Ruby's or is it a different location? Do you know?
It's at her house.
It is.
Which I thought was super weird too. Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt when John was showing up, I thought he was going through a different entrance. I thought it was a different place, but okay.
Yeah.
That's just me. Okay, it is at Ruby, so which is weird. And she has a cool interrogation room upstairs, I guess. Thought it would be three bedrooms up there, Axel, but no, we got a special insulated room where she, throughout the party, is debriefing or bringing people up there.
Yeah.
You see like three or four come down the stairs. And then of course, John gets called up. And just real quick, when John is talking with some ladies and they're all in different languages, an actress, Monia Ayachi, who I did a short film with, and she was a client in my management company for a while years back. She plays Alice. She says a few, I think, lines in French when he leaves.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool to see her up there. Awesome. I was like, oh shoot. So that's someone nice. I know. Yeah. But it, my initial reaction of the party just felt freaking weird. Like when John walks in and everyone's kind of there, I started thinking crowded room where that's all his personalities. I started to think, are those people really there? Are they not? Like, oh, the okay. show has got me spinning.
Wait. What did you, are you, you said, could they all be his different personalities?
Yes.
Oh, I like this. So this is good. Okay. Are they really,
but
there?
I feel like I just watched that show on Apple and that was,
I know. I don't, honestly, I have to say, this show has kind of got me stumped. I still think he's an alien. That's what I think. I'm still in the alien thing. It's because I love aliens and I love sci-fi, so my mind directly mm-hmm. goes there. When she said to him, that's why we're here. We're here to interact with them, not to get involved with them, right? Like she seems right. to be
stealing, observe.
Yeah, to observe.
Little and, fringe, the observer.
Exactly. But that's the other thing is the other people's jobs, when he talks to Henry, right, who is the yep. actor we know from Rabbit Hole and a lot of other, James Butler Harner, yep. from a lot of other things.
Ozark, too.
First season. He says that he is an archivist or something like that. What does he say his job is? He's not a detective. He's not a cop. He's not a private eye or a secret agent. You know, but when he talks to
secret agent man,
when he talks to our man Sugar, he says, "What's going on in your other job?" Right. So it's known that whatever job they're doing with the little books and she's typing it into this thing, right? That is like their main job, and whatever they do is their cover. So the detective thing is really his cover for whatever he's really doing, which has to do with Ruby and all of these very diverse people. And when I say diverse, I mean diverse of ethnicity, age, shape, size. Like it was specifically
everything.
Yeah, it specifically looked like that, right? It looked like a Noah's Ark of people. Like they had specifically all done different people so they could get into every nook and cranny of humanity to kind of study it. And right. And when she's typing into that thing, it made me think, okay, that's either a communication thing and this is like some alien thing. But the other thing I had, which because I love this, my two favorite things are spaceships and time travel, that maybe it's some sort of time travel thing. And they're there to observe, to prevent. And the reason why he does the detective thing or this guy does archival or whatever the hell he does is because they're trying to, it's like the show Travelers, that Canadian show Travelers that was pretty good with the guy from Will and Grace, where they were there to prevent a future apocalypse. But that's what I got, Solo.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, when she's typing his journal, she gives him a new journal, but she takes the old journal and is like questioning his closeness. It does feel alienish.
You're being too like human.
Yeah. Like it does. But then I was thinking, oh, maybe she's just typing and doing the typewriter or whatever, so no one can trace these. She's not on the computer doing it. So it's analog, so no one can trace it or whatever, but why?
It was,
you know, so you know, it's funny. I was, when you said alien the first episode, I'm like, okay, dude, relax. But now I'm like, you might be right or damn close to it. It just feels that like they're a different population from somewhere else. And they're gradually, you know, there is a bigger plan that would be wacky. But the thing is, think about, and I hate to do this, but think about all these shows that are on Apple TV. They're all kind of sci-fi-ish. We just finished Constellation, and you know, so it's just like an Invasion and Foundation, and you know, so that's the only thing that scares me.
They're all one word.
Was an alien.
They're all one word, right?
One word.
So that Sugar, it meant, Yeah. Solo. Because our friend Mike from One Mike, subscribe on YouTube, follow the show links in the link in the show notes. His idea after the first two episodes was the multiple person, kind of a little bit of what we talked about too, like with the shaking, something's wrong. But
right.
That could also be him acclimating to a human form. He could it could be like Resident Alien, which is a fun show that's now on Netflix, but started, I think, on either USA or the Sci-Fi Network with that guy, Alan Tidyuk, or I can't pronounce his last name.
From Dodgeball and Firefly, etc.
Yep. where he is an alien and he takes the form of a human, but whenever he gets injured or hurt or anything, he doesn't have the strength to maintain human form and he becomes an alien again. So maybe it could be something like that. Whatever it is, it's going to affect what's happening in the detective story too, because of all the shit that Ruby's doing. Why is she erasing all that stuff? Why is she worried that Sugar is getting closer to a guy who he should be getting closer to, right? Like, who is involved in what he's examining, what he's detecting. So it's like, it doesn't make sense that she's working against him. So I'm into it, man. I like it. It's making me think. But also, like, you have some in the notes about the beautiful pool shots, and it's just a very beautiful show. So it's great. It's fun to watch in that way too.
Yeah, I love that. That shot of Colin Farrell in underwater in the pool with it's night, but yet he's glowing a little bit underneath, you know, it's remarkable. And then he's looking at that moon again. Is he looking at his planet? Does he live on the moon? or he's talking about secrets too. That seems to be a theme, of course, throughout this show, but like, he's like, well, I have secrets, and you know, and so it's just like, he does seem, the character of John Sugar, he does seem not human. I mean, human, but not human. Yeah, like, he does seem, you definitely get that feeling of it. Almost that he's programmed, but now the program is starting to fail and he's doing things that he shouldn't be doing. And they're trying to, Ruby's going to try to get him back on course. I just hope it's not a simulation. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want simulations. I can't stand simulations.
You know what? I mean, I don't know. Whatever it is, I give them credit, because in shows like this before, where there is some kind of a secret, I think shows have done a poor job of bridging the gap between the two mysteries. And this show, at this point and only three episodes in, has intertwined them so much that there has to be some sort of reason for it, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I guess Ruby, of course, wants John to go see Dr. Vickers.
Yeah.
And she calls him, and he seems like calling the shots a little bit. Like, he's, you know, important. So he's not just the house doctor of this elite group. He seems to be higher up, as I said earlier. So I'm wondering if they need to inject him with something new.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's really harping on him having to go to see the doc. So,
and doesn't
that's
Henry,
interesting. And they talk about the other. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm Henry. Sorry, pal. But didn't Henry mention too, like, are you okay? Are you like, he kind of,
yeah.
So that's the thing. Oh, that reminds me, Solo, you had asked me, you had mentioned earlier about how when he walks in, everyone stops talking. Right. It's like, it's weird too. It's not, it seemed almost symbiotic. Like, they were all connected, and once another one of them entered, and then he makes a little joke and they go back. But it seemed almost natural. Like, he knew it was going to happen. Like, when he opened the door, he was welcoming them all. Like, it was interesting that way. But I don't remember what else. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought, pal.
That's okay. No, what I was just saying was, I think they say tell the others in that phone call, or something along those lines, like they, like right. who is the, yes. you know, the, yep. who are they? Who are these others? Mike, maybe Michael Emerson shows up. I don't know. Probably not. Unless he gets caught in a net.
He could get caught in a net.
We could have a lockdown, sugar lockdown.
Yeah.
There's a lot that could happen here. And then, you know, maybe Stallings gets shot by a physicist. I don't know. Anyway, lost references. It definitely, you know, because I start thinking about the party. I'm like, was the party just for him? Was it a simulation? I'm like, no, I can't do simulations.
It is very weird, man. The whole thing was weird. I'm looking up right now. I finally remembered, obviously, while we're on the podcast, to look up to see if we can get the, I bet you we can, the TV show transcript.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is available. Okay. So we can figure this stuff out for next episode, or I could try to look something up for Shibaya Crossing. What was the question you had? Because that was at the end, right? When she says the phone call with Ruby, right?
Yeah, she calls Vickers and is explaining stuff about John, updating, and he's kind of giving a little bit of orders what to do.
Oh, hey, that's what it was. Okay, so Solo, that voice seemed to me to belong to the guy that was standing behind her with the ears the whole time. And he's been on other shows.
He was at the party
and he was watching. Okay. Scott Lawrence observing. Is his name. Okay, that's the actor's name. And you've seen him before. Yes. He has big ears. He kind of looks a little bit like he would be in those Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He has a very
Baby New Year.
Yeah, exactly. but he's, let me tell you something, the things he's been in. Actually, he's in Star Wars. He was in Stuber. Gosh, he's a character actor. He's in Avatar, Cloverfield, Private Parts. Anyway, he was at the party the whole time, and they did some shots where in the background, he's just staring at John. Like while he's talking. And then when she calls, I was like, wait, I recognize his voice. And that is the guy whose voice she, okay, that's, I'm glad. And now that I'm looking at the TV show transcript, John says, there's blood in the water. The sharks are circling. I got plenty of people angry at me today. Ruby at least has a right to be. Then she calls. Dr. Vickers says, Ruby, what is it? I'm sorry for the hour, but we have a problem. Sugar is onto Stallings. It's only a matter of time before he discovers the rest. Dr. Vickers says, well, we need to stop him. It's time to tell the others. Ruby says, the others? Dr. Vickers says, do what you can, but it's time for Miller to know.
Miller?
Yes. And then John says in voiceover, and the mission comes first. She's right about that. But I'm not going to back off this case. So there is a mission that, for some reason, it seems cross purposes. Maybe it's almost like the prime directive, right? Like he's getting, because he's going to figure out this case, it's going against the mission that Dr. Vickers and Ruby and the Society Polyglot have outlined, why they're there on Earth or in this time or whatever, or this dimension. It could be dimensional shit too, Solo.
Oh boy. Long as it's not simulations. Did I mention that?
I know. It's totally going to be. our friend Mike at One Mike noticed through the subtitles that the name Jen, when he says his sister's name that Olivia reminds him of, it's spelled D-J-E-N, which is... I'm looking it up now too, which is like a, I guess a different way of it was a name. Let's see, the gen was a, oh, wait a second, gen Forgotten Realms. Wait a second, Mike might have had to Google this more. Is this annoying that I'm Googling?
Did you just go down a rabbit hole with it?
I did a little bit.
It's live. I feel like we're going down the rabbit hole. Where's Kiefer?
Okay. D-J-E-N is a collective plural word that comes from the Arabic word jinn and means demons, spirits, or angels. The singular form is jinni, which can appear in English as jinni or genie. Interesting.
Wow.
The jinn may also refer to an ethnicity in Forgotten Realms. The Jinn are a descendant of human slaves around. Oh, this is, I think that's some kind of, that's like a book or something. Or a video game. That's interesting. Jinn means imaginary too. The name D-J-E-N means imaginary in Nepal.
So, So remember we were talking about how, I think we talked about, because where Olivia reminds him of Jen.
Right.
And that whole, like, is Jen real? Is it, you know, is, you know, yeah, anyway. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank Some you. Funky stuff going on in this. Thanks, one, Mike.
Thanks, Mike, Google, and TV show transcripts. Yeah, something's going on. It's very interesting. But overall, the vibe of this show, the feel of it, and the speed of it, it just, they could have padded this shit out, but I like this 32 minutes. I really dig it.
Yeah. I like my 43 minutes to 50, but you know, it's okay. But actually, just going through Constellation, that show, which is like almost an hour every episode, and I felt that show could have been shorter. I felt there was a lot of repetitiveness and stuff. So it's just like, you know, finding the right balance. So, you know, in Our Mayor of Kingstown, which we'll be covering starting in June, season 3, they have a tendency to do that as well, to have some shorter episodes in there. So,
yeah,
I mean, we got a lot in the shortness of it. So
we did. Hey, we've already talked for 46 minutes about a 32-minute episode, man.
They get my Lord.
Extra 13 or so minutes, but I think that about does it for me, Solo. You got anything else you want to mention in this episode?
Oh, no, it does it for me. Yeah, no, I'm good. Cool. This was good. I look forward to the next episode coming out next Thursday on Apple TV+. This is a fun show to talk about, and it's really interesting because I personally didn't expect, I thought it was going to be a more traditional film noir detective story. Yeah. I had no idea there were going to be these other elements. So not knowing about the show, kind of diving in, watching the trailer, be like, let's podcast about it. I'm glad we did, because we're getting, you know, it's not just we're recapping and okay, what's your question of the week, TV talk? No, it's, you know, there's some potential here for some weird cool shit. So I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. I would not have been surprised if this whole episode had just been the detective story, but the amount of fusing the two together is making me even more excited. And 3 episodes done. We got 5 more to go. There's only 8 episodes. So, I mean, we're almost to the halfway point, right? After next week. So,
after next week, we'd be halfway through. That's halfway a good, good analysis.
There you go.
So, all right. So remember, go to dvrpodcast.com. Check out all our other shows that we do on the DVR Podcasting Network. And if you want to become a patron, get exclusive pods, ad-free, just go to patreon.com/DVR. And also check out my film, The Star City Murders. Is coming out Tuesday, the 16th of April. And we do a companion pod, the Star City Murders podcast. It's live. It's out there. We just released episode 5, where we interview Charlie Farrow, who plays ADA Edward Hirsch in the film. So go check that out. We'll have new episodes coming soon. And check out Before the Dragon, Matt Murdock's beautiful House of Dragon podcast that I'll be appearing on probably within a week. It'll drop. So if you're a House of the Dragon fan, check that out. And yeah, we got one mic over there on the YouTube. Maybe he'll put a D in front of Mike. So maybe he'll be one to Mike, you know, for sugar. No? Axel, nothing? You got nothing from me?
Wah, wah.
Thank you. It's Mike. Friday afternoon. To Mike.
One to Mike.
One to Mike.
Always a pleasure to podcast with you, Solo. And we'll put up that Matt Murdock on our daily DVR feed as well, which this goes up at. And if you are a subscriber and you find this episode, subscribe to daily DVR feed as well. That's where it's kind of the master feed of everything we do. And you can enjoy a bunch of other stuff too. I can't remember. There was another pod. I don't know if I talked to someone about doing a pod or something next week, or I had an idea that I didn't even talk to someone yet, but there'll be other pods there as well.
Well, let me type it in the typewriter and so we can have it in our files, what your thoughts are.
All right, Ruby.
I'm just going to observe. I'm not going to get too into it. Wow, I did a lot of Ando today, dropping stuff from the show. He's ruined me. He's ruined me.
All right. Well, peace out, everybody.
See you next time.